Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of an amazing series of studies, preparation for the end time. Today, prophecies and stories of Jesus recorded by Matthew in Matthew 24 and 25, which not only tell us about the end time, but how to be ready. In fact, Jesus wants you to be ready today. And I'm glad we can study together. Good to be together again, isn't it?
Yes.
I've been blessed by this series. You know, when I was growing up, I thought of preparation for the end time as kind of a scary thing. But actually, it's good news, and yet it's vitally important. We're glad you're with us as part of our Hope Sabbath School family. It always brings us joy to hear from you around the world, and thanks for writing. Here is a beautiful note from Isabel. She's 10 years old, and I said, Isabel, I wish you could give us your picture. She said, I'm 10 years old. I live in New Hampshire. Her whole family watches Hope Sabbath School. She writes, Hope Sabbath School encourages me to be more like Jesus.
Amen.
She's there with her older sister, Gabrielle, and mom and dad, Jason and Laurel in New Hampshire. She said, Since I've started watching Hope Sabbath School, I've been drawn closer to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
That's our prayer.
Amen.
You've inspired me to read my Bible more.
Amen.
Well, that's part of Hope Sabbath School, too. Thank you for the words you share with everyone. Love your friend, Isabel. Well, Isabel, thank you for writing to us from New Hampshire. And greetings to your family. God bless you all. It's wonderful to see a family studying the Word of God together, isn't it?
Amen.
Here's a note from Anil in India, in Manipur. And Anil says, I'm happy for you because the Lord is using you to reach people with the gospel and even me.
Amen.
All the way from India. Thank you, Anil. Many times when I don't find answers to my questions, you give me the answer.
Wow.
Praise God for that. God bless you all. Well, Anil, I know there are probably not many Christians in your state there in India, but I'm glad that you're a shining light for Jesus. God bless you. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. A short note from Cameroon, in the heart of Africa. Has anyone been to Cameroon? No? All right, I'm John. Thank you so much for expounding the gospel this awesome way. This is my best television program.
All right.
Amen.
It's good. I've introduced many to Hope Sabbath School as well. More grace, John. Well, John, thanks for writing to us from Cameroon. French-speaking territory, is that right?
Both English and French.
Both English and French. So thank you for writing to me in English, John. I appreciate that. All right, here's a note from a donor in Florida. In fact, a couple who sent a check for $500 to help Hope Sabbath School.
Wow.
Said, we believe in what you're doing, and may God continue to bless you as you share the good news of salvation and His soon and glorious return. Enclosed is a gift for the ministry. In fact, we'd like to send a gift every month.
Amen.
God bless you. Well, thank you. I don't read donors' names, but I do want to tell you that your partnership with us, we're a donor-supported global evangelistic ministry, and your partnership with us is changing lives all around the world. So thanks for being part of this ministry. And a note, we had to have one, Nicole, from Jamaica. So... Jamaica, that's the roots, right? Were you born in Jamaica?
I was not.
You were not, no. But you claim your roots are from Jamaica.
My parents were both born in Jamaica.
And Beulah writes and says, I watch Hope Sabbath School every Friday evening with my friend. We attend Northern Caribbean University, where I'm studying medical technology. We are blessed every week with your melodious singing. Well,
right.
Hold on, Beulah, we're about to sing, and we'd actually like you to sing with us. In fact, she says we enjoy singing along, too. So, Beulah, we need you to sing our theme song coming up from Revelation 15. The way the lesson is explained allows us to gain a better understanding of the Word of God. We appreciate you all. We'll continue to pray for your ministry as you continue to share the gospel. Blessings on you all. Beulah, medical technology major.
Right.
Well, that sounds like a university student. We're glad that you there on the campus of Northern Caribbean University are wanting to walk close with Jesus. And actually, along with your friend Beulah, we need you to sing with us now. The theme song's found in Revelation 15, 3 and 4. It's what the redeemed will sing. I don't know what the tune will be. And my wife wrote a tune so we could sing it here. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Let's sing it together.
Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? Who shall not fear you, O Lord, for you alone are holy. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. All nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested.
Just thinking while we were singing the song, looking over in the crowd and seeing John the Baptist or Mary Magdalene or Rahab from Jericho. I think we're going to be really singing. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
Just and true are your ways, Amen. O King of the saints.
Amen.
And our prayer as we study today, prophecies and stories of Jesus, is that there be many more than we now know who will be gathered with the redeemed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that salvation is all your work, and yet you said to us, go into all the world and preach the good news to every nation. And so we want to thank you. We know of at least 150 countries that are watching Hope Sabbath School. We know this is just one little piece of the gospel proclamation, but we are thankful that we are part of that proclamation. And I pray the special empowerment of your Holy Spirit today. What better topic than prophecies and stories of Jesus about preparation for the end time. Amen. As we open your holy word, guide us, each one of us around the world as we study together. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm excited about this study. And before we go right into the Gospel of Matthew, two whole chapters, 24 and 25, which give us both prophecies and stories or parables about preparation for the end time. I want to ask the question, why did Jesus tell us about the things? Why don't we just say, well, let's just see what happens when we get there. Well, Harold, if you could start our study, there's a couple of verses I'd like us to consider. First in John 16 and verse 4, and then actually in Matthew 24, verse 4 and 25, maybe Nicole, you could read that, where Jesus says, this is why I'm telling you ahead of time. So hear these texts and then let's talk about that.
Yes, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And I read John 16, verse 4. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you.
Okay, so when Jesus is with us, I mean, if he was with us all the time, now he is with us by his Holy Spirit, but if he was with us, we could just say, what does this mean, Jesus? But he says, I'm telling you now, right, so that when it happens, you'll do what?
You'll know.
You'll remember. Wait a minute, Jesus told us about those things. Nicole, actually, in this passage we're going to study, you know, in the Gospel of Matthew, as in the rest of the scriptures, there weren't original chapters, but we added chapters and verses so we could find our way around. So it's in this whole section, what we call Matthew 24. Let's look at verse 4 and verse 25. Jesus, again, very specifically says, here's why I'm telling you these things.
The New International Version says, Matthew 24, verses 4 and 25. Verse 4 says, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. And verse 25 says, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect.
In verse 25, I've told you. So help me now. A couple of principles have come out. Why is he telling us?
Deception.
Okay.
Biggest thing. I mean, we need to be prepared to know, like, how deception will look like. So Jesus is giving us ahead of time, look, there'll be false Christ, so don't fall for that Christ, because that's not how I'm going to appear or whatever that Christ is going to do.
All right, so there's going to be deception, and what else, Kyle? Or Brittany, yeah?
Also, to build our faith, what we read in John, he said, I've told you beforehand, so when you see these things happening, then you'll know. So when we see what Jesus predicted happening, then it builds our faith in him that we can trust him.
Exactly. So we're not only seeing deception, we're seeing the truth.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus said, right?
Amen.
He said, for example, the people will come and say, I'm the Christ. And he said, well, Jesus told us that. Mm-hmm. Or it's going to go to the whole world, and we're seeing that happen. Even when people said, it's impossible, even a few decades ago, it's impossible. Why, you can send a message to the whole world in, how long would it take, Jamie? You're a specialist in social media. How long could it take for the whole world to hear something?
Just a few seconds.
Yeah. And then you get the old-fashioned way of, you know, six connections, right?
Yeah.
You know, so you might get to a village on social media, but then they could do it the old way.
Yeah.
It could literally be a matter of seconds that the whole world is given a message. So we have that possibility. Joshua?
Yes. Oh, no, I was...
You're just listening carefully. Yeah. All right, Jamie.
I actually had a thought. It's like, you know, when you're hiking in the woods and you're not quite sure if you're going the right direction. And in the end times, we might experience persecution and tribulation. And that might make us begin to question our faith. But when we see those little splashes of color that tell us that we're going in the right direction, that's what he's doing. He's giving us a way and a path to follow so that we can get reaffirmation.
In some countries, like in America, on trails, they'll put a kind of a splash of color on the tree, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the red trail, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And every once in a while, you're like, whew, there's some red paint.
Yeah.
Let you know you're still on the trail.
Yeah.
So that's what prophecy can be. Well, let's go right into the prophecy in Matthew chapter 24. And Jason, I'll ask you to start. We could actually spend our whole hour of interactive study on one piece here. Mm. But we're going to actually look both at prophecies and stories, which will help us to prepare. But let's hear this important prophecy of Jesus, the first part, verses 5 through 14.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Matthew chapter 24, verses 5 through 14. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come.
Mm-hmm. So you've got two times there, and will deceive many. Mm-hmm. Many false Christs, many false prophets. Mm-hmm. One more portion, Charity, in verses 23 through 27 of Matthew 24. And then I want to reflect on that together.
I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Then if anyone tells you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. See, I have warned you about this ahead of time.
Down through verse
27. Verse 26.
Verse 27, please.
Yeah. So if someone tells you, look, the Messiah is out in the desert, don't bother to go and look. Or look, he is hiding here. Don't believe it. For as the lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes.
So there's both the warning of deception and the truth about what will actually happen, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't believe this. This is the way it's going to be. Now, Nicole, do you want to respond to that? And then I want to ask a question. Do you think there have been false prophets and false Christs all down through the centuries? Mm-hmm. Because there have been wars and rumors of wars. Or do you think there's an escalation? That's an interesting question. Nicole.
It just occurred to me as we're reading this that it goes back to the premise that God wants to save everyone. Mm. And he wants to prepare us for what's coming so we can be saved. Mm. Just like we go for a test, we have to study for our test so we can be ready for when the test comes. Mm. He loves us so much that he's like, listen, this is what's going to happen. And I want you to be prepared for that time so that in the end you can be with me mm-hmm. as the success of the test. Mm.
So the deceive many, which was repeated twice, mm-hmm. would that... Is that talking about, like, people that don't know the Bible, or is it possible that even, it said, if possible, even we'll come to some stories that may answer that question, because there were 10 virgins who all had lamps and were all looking for the return of the bridegroom, and half of them were deceived, if you want to use mm-hmm. the same word. Jamie?
Well, I was going to say, you know, we've seen this before in, you know, ancient times when Jesus came, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were looking for the wrong things. And
different
they had
Messiah.
They were looking for a different Messiah, and they had their human expectations. And so they missed him. And we want to learn from that. And we don't want to miss him the second time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there have been false prophets and false messiahs all the way through, Harold?
Yes. And it's interesting. I mean, if those people who follow the news, there has been an explosion of false Christs. Actually, there's people who claim to be Christ even to this day. Mm-hmm. There's one in Brazil. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's one even in Russia. There's one in Africa. There was even one here in the United States who actually started a church in Florida. He claimed to be Messiah / Antichrist. But it was kind of interesting that in this generation, there's been an explosion of mm-hmm. false Christs. Yeah. And they have actually thousands, if not even, I would say, even to the millions of followers. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing this today, actually. Mm-hmm.
This multiplication. And back to what we were saying about social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just as good news mm-hmm. can go, false or fake news can also
yeah.
go, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Telling
yeah.
lies about God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My wife was reading about Abraham, and there was a description of Abraham that really impacted her, that Abraham was a guardian and preserver of the truth of God.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What a noble thing Amen. For us to say, by God's grace, to be a guardian and preserver. Because you're right, the false Christs and false prophets are out there, and it seems to be increasing. Mm-hmm. And if Satan knows that his time is short, right. wouldn't he use every possible yes. mm-hmm. willing deceiver to join him? Nicole?
But answer your question, they've always been in existence because Satan has always tried to help make others believe that there are those who can be Christ. Mm. So he's always put that in place that they're antichrist, they're folks that say they're the Messiah, they're not. So they've always been in existence as long as Satan's been in existence.
When they say in the desert or in the secret chamber,
exactly. mm-hmm.
going to be like lightning, exactly. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not the true Messiah. Mm. Lightning from the east even unto the west. Let's go back to verse 15. It speaks there. Travis, would you read that for us? It's a reference back to the book of Daniel. Mm-hmm. Which helps us to understand that this prophecy, if you read the whole context, is Jesus gives it about something that's going to happen about 40 years later, which is the destruction of Jerusalem, and in reference to the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Let's see what it says in Matthew 24, verse 15.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand.
Someone could read that and think that's just talking about something at the end time. And it is.
It is. Mm-hmm.
But look in Luke 21, someone, maybe Joshua, you could find Luke 21 and verse 20. And there Jesus says it's also referring to something that's going to happen locally. It's speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem.
Yes. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Mm.
So this abomination of desolation in the time in that first century was what? What was that a reference to?
Jerusalem.
The temple.
To the fact that the Roman armies would come in
and destroy the temple.
And they would destroy the temple. That's right. They would not respect the holy.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now people say, well, it was accidental. A firebrand went in. The temple caught on fire. They tore it apart for the gold. We don't know for sure, but we would have to agree that the holy was not respected.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right.
What about the abomination of desolation in the end, Travis?
The abomination was worship of idols and things other than the Creator. Mm-hmm. They turned their back on God.
Mm-hmm. So there's not only this desolation of the holy, which was speaking about the time of the destruction of Jerusalem, first century, but the desecration of the holy in the end time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's all of these signs. Now, did I tell you that we could spend a whole time here? I want to look at one verse which calls us to endurance. And Kyle, I know you have a comment before we read Matthew 24, verse 13. Go ahead and share with us.
Oh, I was just going to, just off what Travis said, you know, when you look at Matthew 24, what Jesus talks about in the destruction of Jerusalem is a symbol. It's kind of like a miniature picture of what's going to happen just before Jesus returns.
And that's interesting because the Jewish people thought God will never allow this temple to be destroyed. Right. You know, they trusted that rather than in the prophecy that Jesus had given. Mm-hmm. Harold, now I feel bad. I gave Kyle a comment before we go on.
No, I was just going to add a little bit more on the abomination because, yes, idolatry, like worshiping something other than God, we think about idolatry like statues, you know, television or whatever it is, but also our actions. We have to be careful because the Pharisees thought that they were righteous or self-righteous, that they should earn salvation. Mm-hmm. So that kind of behavior, which is like focusing on us versus on God, also can be abominable or offensive to God.
So it's not just idols.
Yes.
It's anything that shows a lack of respect for what God calls holy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm already thinking, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I'm already thinking about how Sabbath fits into end time. But want to go to endurance. So, Kenneth, could you read for us in Matthew 24... and verse 13. It's just a short verse, but it's really important. Matthew 24 and verse 13. What does Jesus say?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, but he who endures to the end shall be saved.
Mm-hmm. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, we're not saved by our endurance.
No.
Right?
Right?
No.
But endurance is necessary.
Yes.
Someone go over to Revelation 14 just quickly. We're coming back to Matthew. Jamie, it looks like you have it. Revelation 14, verse 12. This is the same word, this idea of endurance. Mm-hmm. What does it say?
The New Living Translation says, this means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus.
So did you hear the word endure there? That's an interesting translation. Mm-hmm. Endure. Mm-hmm. And the endurance is revealed in keeping the commandments and
maintaining their faith.
Yeah. Why does it require endurance as we think about preparation for the end time? We've got the promises of Jesus, Brittany. Mm-hmm. We also know deceptions are all around us. Why is this word endurance important?
Well, all the things that Jesus mentioned would happen could be very discouraging and distracting, and it's an opportunity that we could just give up our faith. Mm-hmm. But we need to just hold on to Jesus like so many people throughout the scriptures did. They just held on to Jesus, and he got them through it. And the martyrs, you know, they were dying at the stake, but they were holding on to Jesus, and they have eternal life.
You know, when you said holding on, I had this picture as a parent of my child clinging for dear life to me, unaware of the fact that my arms are underneath. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay.
God is not going to let us go.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Jesus say, no one can snatch you, thank you, Kenneth, out of my hand? Mm-hmm. But we're like hanging on, you know, because we know where our safety's found.
Yeah.
But it's not a casual thing, is it? There's an intensity there.
Yeah.
Holding on to Jesus. Gladys?
Well, God wants us to remember that this is a race, not a sprint. And in order to run the race, we need the endurance. Mm-hmm. So if we think that in a moment we just get there, then we're going to lose faith, like Brittany said, because the time passes and he doesn't come. Bad things happen. So he wants us to remember, yes, the journey may be long, but if you persevere, you will get there with my help.
Now, it talked about, there's so many hands that are raised. I told you this is going to be challenging. Yeah. Brittany said we're going to face some challenges. I need someone to read Matthew 24, verse 9, because you were not exaggerating when you said we're going to face some challenges. Matthew 24, and then I'll come to some comments. Lisa, do you have that, verse 9?
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake.
Does that sound fairly intense?
Yes.
And we don't have time to read Revelation 13, but there's the prophecy in Revelation 13, verses 11 to 17, about a death decree.
Right. Mm-hmm.
About those who will not worship the beast.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We're going to study that in another topic, so hopefully you'll stay with us, because we're going to talk about the mark of the beast and the seal of God. These are challenging topics, but that death decree spoken of here is fulfilled in Revelation 13.
Mm-hmm.
A death decree for those who will not respect that which God calls holy.
Yes.
Amen.
And obviously the most important thing that God calls holy is?
Word.
Us.
He says, I am holy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I am holy, your creator. I am holy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's none like me.
Yeah.
And we see a lack of respect for God.
Yeah, we do.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, that's so evident. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here, everything's being fulfilled. Well, I'm going to give a few opportunities to share. Jamie, I see your hand raised here.
Yeah. Well, one thing I want to add is part of our endurance is also obeying his commandments. And it's about a lack of respect for God and God's character. His law of love is a reflection of his character. And so we might be tempted to, you know, disobey God's law to avoid this persecution, to avoid, you know, these possible punishments for short-term gain. But he's asking us to endure for eternal reward.
Mm-hmm. Someone told me one time, thank you for pointing that out, that no one is more committed to obedience to God than those who are saved by his grace.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
You know, you're not earning your wife or your husband's love, but you're not going to, no one would be more committed than you are.
Yeah.
You know, because of the love that binds you together. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People who say, well, Christians, we just love God. We don't have to obey him.
Yeah.
Amen.
They just don't understand. Lisa.
And 1 Corinthians 13 says that love is patient. That's its first criteria. And so to separate endurance from a loving relationship with Jesus goes against what the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus predicted, I'm sorry, guys, you have so many hands raised, it looks like it's a holdup, you know. Pick them up. But stay with us here. Jesus actually not only prophesied that we would suffer, but he said in the Sermon on the Mount, someone help me, blessed are those
who are persecuted
for showing respect for the holy.
Yes.
Most of all for him, right?
Yes.
And for that which he has asked us to do. Yeah. Blessed, the word makarios actually means happy. Mm. That's a paradox. Happy are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Mm-hmm. How is it possible, help me someone, that I can be happy even when I'm hated, or some, it says, will be killed. Mm. How is that possible? Help me, someone. Mm. Yes, Gladys.
I think of Job. You know, when God said to Satan, have you considered my friend, my servant, Job? He is righteous. So I think that when we go through trials, I imagine God saying, have you considered my friend Gladys, my servant Gladys?
Oh, Lord, help us. What a beautiful thing.
And to me, just like, okay, so if he considers me worthy of going through trials and tribulations, then he may see something in me that honors him, mm-hmm. that he wants to make sure that the world sees too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says, for so persecuted the prophets who were before. Yes. In other words, you're in good company.
Yes.
And by the way, Jesus says they hated
me.
Me.
Yeah.
Me.
They're going to hate you if you're my followers.
Yes. Yeah.
Kyle.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the endurance thing, and Gladys talked about the race. And I don't know if any of you guys are runners. I used to be a runner. I'm not really anymore. But when I was a runner, I should get back into it. But
this is no time for confession about exercise, okay?
Just being honest. But, okay, when you're running a race, right, and when you're running a long race, let's say like a half marathon, a lot of times they'll have signposts as you go along. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you get so tired. And this isn't a perfect analogy, but you get so tired that you just think, I just want to be done. I just want to collapse and I can't keep going. But as you see those signposts going by, you're reminded that you're getting closer and closer to the finish line. Mm-hmm. And as you keep your eye on the goal, and as you see those signs as you're running, you realize that you're getting very close. And so I see this chapter, like Jesus is telling us, you're on this race. I'm your strength. The goal is in sight, and you're seeing these signs as they're coming by, and we realize we're getting closer and closer to the end, and it gives us encouragement to finish the race.
Yeah. So it's kind of it. Like, Jamie, your illustration mm-hmm. with the flashes of paint on the yeah. tree, yeah. except instead of just having a little color, it says, almost home.
Almost yeah. home. Yeah.
Kind of sending us little messages,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Little
yeah.
way to go.
Yeah.
Endurance. We have to move on, because just we could spend an hour... We spent half of our time just on the prophecies. But Jesus tells some amazing stories. Mm-hmm. And they're in Matthew 25. And I'm thinking in my... I'm doing my computer search here and wondering how much we're able to read. But I really think we should read the parable of the 10 virgins. Mm-hmm. And Joshua, I'm going to ask you if you'd read that for us. Some of us have heard it before. You may be hearing it for the first time. It's a crucial story addressed to those who at least all of them are professing they want to be ready
yes.
for the end time and the glorious return of the bridegroom.
Mm. Mm.
So let's go right through verses 1 through 13.
All right. And the Bible says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Mm. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Jesus is telling this story. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing some people are going, well, there's five, that's like the religious people, and the other 5 are the non-religious people.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
Nicole, unpack that for me. How does the story refute that idea that 5 are the religious and 5 are the non-religious?
Sure. Well, they're all 10 virgins. They're all described as the same person, 10 virgins, and they all have a lamp that has oil in it when they first come to the waiting on the bridegroom. So for me, that means they all had some knowledge of the bridegroom was coming, and they all had some preparation that was done. Mm-hmm. But 5 prepared beyond what was needed for that moment in time. And it, for me, that means that I need to be prepared. Mm-hmm. I need to fill myself as oil with the Holy Spirit, with the words mm-hmm. of God, because when He returns, which you don't know what that is, I need to be able to be ready for Him. And mm-hmm. I can't share that with anyone else at that time if I don't have it in myself mm-hmm. to share.
You know, I used to be really bothered when I was growing up with the fact that the wise wouldn't share their oil. But this is just a story. Can you share the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that someone else gets the anointing?
No,
you can't. You can only tell them where they should have gone.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, when the bridegroom, Revelation, says it is finished, it's too late. So we could spend a lot of time with this story, but what's the most important lesson, Lisa, that you hear in this story of Jesus? It's about preparation for the end time.
Earlier on, we're talking about endurance, and we talked about patience, meaning that Jesus is already giving us a clue that His coming may take a while. And if we are depending on the faith that we had when we were children to take us through that time, then it may run out. And so the wise virgins had extra. So we need to have a daily walk with Jesus. We need that extra time with Him in order to be prepared for the future, which may try us to the very end.
Amen. Amen. Well, in fact, just to affirm that, and then we'll come to other comments. You're absolutely right. We need a daily living relationship with Jesus, because at the end of the story,
He says, I don't know you.
What does the bridegroom say to the five foolish ones?
I don't know you.
I don't know you. Now, it doesn't say I never knew you, right? But I don't have a relationship with you now. Yeah. How sad it must be for Jesus to have to say that to people. Because we've learned from our study, how many does He want to be ready?
All.
So thank you for pointing that out, this daily relationship. Someone else, what's an important lesson, Harold?
Another lesson is that all of these women, they represent the church technically because they're seeking God. Mm-hmm. So that is telling us the fact that you go to a church, that doesn't guarantee you salvation, actually. And it goes back to what Lisa, and thank you for pointing that out. It's that personal relationship, that walk, mm-hmm. that quality time that we have with Jesus that will save us. Because the more we behold Him, like, the more we'll be transformed and changed and reflect His character so that others can be transformed.
At least externally, all 10 were pure.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
They were all called virgins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, like 5 virgins and 5 harlots, to use the word of Revelation. Mm-hmm. No. They were all, at least externally, pure, right? They all had the lamp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were all actually looking for the bridegroom to come.
I had oil.
And they all at some point in their experience had oil, because now some say ours is going out. We're living on the past.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So that current, thank you, current daily relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. In fact, Jesus will say, if you have that, you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Whenever I come.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Or if you happen to fall asleep in death tomorrow unexpectedly, if you have that daily living connection. Kyle?
Yeah, and I think the difference between these two groups is that, you know, well, first, like we said, they were all pure, they were all virgins, they had heard the word of God, they believed that the bridegroom was coming, but there was this time of waiting. Mm-hmm. There's time when they all slept, this intervening time.
And they all slept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So
we're all saved by grace, not by how clever we were,
amen.
Right?
So I think the question is, are we allowing the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and change our hearts and really yield ourselves to Him? Because those 5 that were filled with the Spirit were yielding themselves to the Holy Spirit.
That's important.
And those other 5 weren't. So we all go through this waiting time. We're waiting for Jesus to come. Mm-hmm. Now is the time when we need to be preparing ourselves by God's grace alone to see Him when He comes.
Which is a perfect segue to the next story about, we've got some work to do, but I'm going to let Joshua make a comment, but we're still in the same chapter 25. Jesus says, I'm not asking you to just sit around and try to stay out of trouble until I come back.
Mm-hmm.
I have a work for you to do.
Exactly.
In fact, could it be that the work will help us to endure?
Amen.
That's an interesting thought.
Amen.
That will help us from becoming
distracted.
Mm-hmm.
I say that many of us can actually pinpoint times in our lives when we were on fire for Christ more than other times.
Yes.
You know, it could be a time, let's say right after someone is baptized. Mm-hmm. They're just like, yeah,
man, any, I will do anything for God. And they're sharing the word and they're giving Bible studies and they're actively involved in the church and working with others. But then, you know, over some time, that fire starts to become a bit dim. And then some other situation happens and then, I'm on fire for God again. But then after some time, it gets dim. And so I think that each and every one of us, we have to really analyze in our lives, is our relationship with God based on our emotions or is it based on a true relationship?
True.
Just like a marriage. A wife could say to a husband or a husband could say to a wife, I remember when you used to do this for me and that for me, but now...
There's a whole lot of husbands and wives listening to what you're saying.
Yeah, but now things have changed. And so I think God looks at us seeing, hey, you are still my child and I love you, but I want our relationship to always be strong.
Isn't there a counsel in Revelation about... Travis, you're thinking about it?
Yeah. Go back to your first love.
That's right.
Go back to your first love.
That's right. I've got one thing against you to the church in Ephesus.
You left your first love.
You lost your first love, back at least to what you were saying about 1 Corinthians. You didn't endure, right? You lost that. Let's go to a story that Jesus tells, another story in Matthew 25. I'm going to ask someone to read just verses 14 through 18. Gladys, we could read the whole section, but let's look at the first part of the story.
I am reading from Matthew 25, verses 14 to 18 in the New King James Version. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money.
Now, if you didn't know anything about what this word talent was, you could at least conclude from the story that one servant was given
5,
another
2,
and another
1.
So they're not all given the same amount. Jason, is there a clue in the story why they're not all given the same number? I think it's in what verse is it? There's a clue there.
Verse 15.
Is it there?
Verse 15.
Yes.
Verse 15.
The end of verse 15?
It says each according to his own ability, which is a sign there that even though God gives us talents, he gives them to us based on what we can do. And we are not all equal in the same way. Some people have the ability to do more. Some may only be able to do a little bit. But whatever it is, God will give you what you can so that you can strengthen that ability.
Okay. So one's given 5. Does anybody know what a talent was?
Yeah.
It's not talking about you play the oboe. You know, I don't know if you sing or... Charity, you have a healing ministry as a nurse. It's not talking about that type of talent, though those are also gifts.
Yeah. Is it 100 years' wages? Or
wages.
20 years' wages?
A talent was 6,000 drachmas, or 6,000 days' wages.
Wow.
So that's 20 years. Did someone say 20 years?
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
20 years. Thank you, Kenneth. 20 years' wages, approximately, depending on how many days you work. But, you know, that's 1 talent.
Wow.
So you said 100 years for the 5 talents, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
One person was given 100 years' wages.
Wow.
Another one was only given 40 years. Hello? And the one who's complaining so much is given 20 years' wages.
Wow.
What is the master's desire for each one of them? Help me, someone. What, Jamie?
That we be good stewards with what we've been given, no matter what we've been given or how much we've been given.
Yeah. He doesn't set any, you know, got to get to this or you're out. No, he just wants us to be wise stewards. Yes. Now, if we could read the whole story, here again, we're moving quickly. The problem with the 1 talent servant who only got 20 years' wages. Now, I don't know what you make or where you live, but multiply what your annual income is by 20.
Wow.
That's what God gave just to the one, because he said she or he has the ability to handle that much, right? Mm-hmm. The love of God.
Yes.
What's the problem with this person that they go and dig a hole and put it in the ground? Mm. Anybody know the rest of the story? Mm. Yeah. Travis, what's the problem?
He had a distorted view of the person who gave him the talents.
Mm-hmm.
And when I relate that to sharing the gospel message, if we have a distorted character or distorted view in the character of God, it will produce no fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It will produce no fruit.
You read later in the chapter, he says, I knew you were harsh and reaping where you've not sown. Back, Lisa, to what you said earlier, it's the same as what you were talking about in the earlier story.
And really what the man is saying, in other words, would be he's actually accusing God of being a liar, saying, God, how could you ask me to do a work in which you've not prepared me to do, which is a lie, because everything that God calls us to do, he's enabled us. But it's our responsibility to know what God has given us and to know the value of the gifts and the talents he's given us. That's not God's responsibility. We have to figure that out. And the only way we can figure that out is through a loving relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. So back to the 10 virgins, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In this story, by his actions,
he didn't know.
The one talent servant is saying, I don't know you. I don't know you. Because that's actually not what he's like at all. He just gave him 20 years' wages.
Yeah.
So, Charity, did you have a comment?
Lisa touched on it. It was that his relationship with God was, or his master, was based in fear. So he packed everything away because he was afraid of a punishment that he would get, as opposed to saying, I've given you 20 years wages, so much that you could change lives and grow my vineyard. And so we also need to understand that our master is not one of fear, but one that wants us to grow his vineyard for him.
Mm-hmm. Back to that loving daily relationship. We're ready. But when we're ready for the return, we're also busy. Is that right?
Yes.
Again, we're not trying to earn our way to heaven, but we're busy doing his work. Travis?
I'd just like to add a takeaway lesson from this little story is that we should let the love of Jesus be our motivation.
Yes.
To share, that should be our motivation.
So that'll take us to the next story. We got to keep moving here, right? Matthew 25. I'm going to ask someone just to read verses 31 to 40. Kyle, just down through verse 40. Could you read that for us? Here's another story that not only says don't just sit around trying to stay out of trouble, but use your gifts, but be particularly attentive to. Let's see what the story tells us.
So I'll be reading from Matthew 25, verses 31 to 40, New King James Version.
Thank you.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.
Amen.
So what is that? By the way, we could take time and he talks to the goats. That's the group you don't want to be in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they say, when did we not do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says, if you didn't do it to the least of these, you failed to do it to me. Mm-hmm. What's the lesson here as we prepare for the end time? Brittany.
Jesus wants us to be sharing his love with others, like we've been talking about with the talents, and that everything that we do for someone else, we're really doing it for Jesus. Because when he was here, that's what he was doing. He was healing people. He was showing them his love. He was forgiving people. And he gave us that mission when he left to continue on the work of bringing the gospel, the good news of salvation to the world. So we're a part of that. And whatever we do for others, it's really for Jesus.
That's a sentence worth remembering, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Whatever we do for others, we might add, in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Right? Amen.
Followers of Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because of that daily relationship, Lisa, right? Mm-hmm. We're doing it for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really interesting that Jesus is telling this story to, you know, law-abiding believers who really knew the law. And we said this in another lesson that, you know, here is a patient of the saints, those who keep the commandments of Jesus Christ. And there could be people who are watching this studio, this program, who think, well, I'm keeping all the commandments. But Jesus said, all the law and the prophets are sit on two, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. So this is really an example of loving our neighbor as ourselves. And our neighbors may look different from us, may have different needs than us, but that is the commandment. We have to love them as much as we love ourselves.
So if we were to summarize that, and thank you for your comment, we would say back to... how are we ready for his return? By a
daily
relationship. Personal relationship with Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're ready for his return. We're not supposed to just sit around and stay out of trouble. We've got to do what?
Be busy. Work.
Use the gifts that he's given to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we look for people who are in need.
In need, yes.
In fact, the way that we relate to them...
as if it was Jesus.
It's a reflection of our relationship.
Thank you, Gladys. Right. It is a visible manifestation, not of how we're trying to earn our way to heaven, but a visible manifestation of the living connection we have with Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to face challenges. We know that. We may be persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
We may even be put to death. So in the last few minutes, I need some promises. And there's no... you can go anywhere in the Bible, okay? Anywhere in the Bible you say, Derek, here's a promise that just brings me courage as I hear the prophecies of Jesus and as I think about these stories, here's a promise that brings me courage. Gladys, I'm going to try to get as many as we can, so be thinking of a
my
promise that means...
my very favorite is John 14, 1-3.
Okay. This will bring you courage. We're going to have to go there. John 14, 1-3. It's actually talking about the second coming, but you're saying it brings you courage as you're preparing for the end time.
Yes.
Okay? What translation?
I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen. Okay, so he's speaking to the disciples there. Why are their hearts troubled?
He's leaving.
At that point. Because he's leaving. Why might our hearts be troubled today?
Trials and tribulations.
Tribulations. And Jesus is not here yet.
We're waiting. We're waiting.
Right, we're waiting. Yeah. So that's a promise. Let not your heart be troubled. I've gone and I will come back. All right? Someone else. Jamie?
Well, in the context of end times and what we might face, he tells us in Revelation 21, verse 4.
Okay, Revelation chapter 21. I love it when we can just go through the Bible. Revelation 21, verse 4. And you have which translation to read?
The New Living Translation.
Okay, Revelation 21 and verse 4.
Tells us, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So no matter what we experience, it will vanish.
Amen.
Someone said, well, I'm going to kill you. It's like, well, I'll die for Jesus. Well, I'm going to let you live then. Well, I'm going to live for Jesus. Well, I'm going to make you suffer. Well, I'm happy to suffer for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
The battle's won at that point, right?
Yes.
Another verse that brings you courage. I want to give some maybe that haven't had a chance. Nicole?
Well, I always look at Philippians 1:6.
Amen.
Okay. Can you read it for us?
Sure.
I'm sure you probably memorized it, but Philippians chapter 1.
Verses 6.
And by the way, Philippians, as many of you know, was written to a church that was facing suffering, hardship.
Yes.
So what brings you courage in Philippians 1:6?
The New International Version says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's going to work on me until he comes back.
Amen.
And that's what the day of Jesus Christ is, the glorious return, right?
Yes.
So you'd say a great preparation for the end time is Jesus, keep doing the work.
Yes.
And that comes from that daily relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else. Yes, Brittany.
Romans in chapter 8, verses 35 to 39.
Romans chapter 8. Well, I was going to tell you, read a few less verses because we don't have a lot of time. But if you read them quickly, Romans 8, verses 35 to 39, in which translation?
New King James Version.
New King James.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
So that brings us right back to the daily loving relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful for that closing promise that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You may say, I'm holding on, I've got to endure. I have good news for you. The arms of your loving Savior are right underneath you.
Amen.
And he will be with us even to the end. Let's remember the prophecies, the stories. Don't just sit around and try to stay out of trouble. Use the gifts he's given to you to bless the lives of those around you. Let's pray that we can be those kind of end time followers of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for these powerful prophecies and stories of Jesus. We're reminded again that the way to be ready for that day is to be ready today in a daily, loving, living relationship with Jesus, our Savior. And I pray that we'd make that commitment again today. And God, may out of us flow rivers of blessing because your love abides in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for our study. We're in the middle of this series. If you've missed any, go to our website. Join us next time because we're looking at preparation for the end time. You don't have to be afraid. You just need to hold on to Jesus and praise him that he's holding on to you. Now go out, tell that good news to those around you.